I tried to get on to your brother's. Chanan is your brother, right?
Yes.
I tried to get on to his feature on the wider website tonight for a share on honoring an older brother, but I couldn't open it up. Can you tell him? You want to speak to him?
I'll try to get the message to him. Emirat Hashem. So tonight we want to talk about Parshas Mishpatim, according to the Ramban, and really focus on the concept of Mishpatim, just by way of introduction. I don't have to point out that 1/4 of Shulchan Aruch is dedicated to Mishpatim, that's called Choshen Mishpat. And in some circles, we tend to think that Choshen Mishpat is perhaps easier in a sense than the other halakim, because we spend so much time in yeshivas, you know, studying the bavis, you know, concepts like Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya, which are so ingrained in us from our youth, and we're so familiar with them. So tonight, what we'd like to study in the Ramban are a number of comments of the Ramban here and connecting them to Rambans elsewhere to try to indicate that Choshen Mishpat is fundamental and in some sense even more so than the other three Chalakim, Yoredeya, Evan Ezra, or Chaim. And not only fundamental, but they represent such a complicated maze that the kind of genius that it would take to serve as a judge, it's mind-boggling. The Ramban in Parshas Yisro last week spoke about the credentials of a judge, who's fit to serve as a judge in Israel. He spoke about Sonei Betza. But that's more of a moral attribute and a prerequisite. You know, you have to have an honest person who would not bend to pressure, who's totally dedicated to justice, who would never accept a bribe. The Ramban even describes Sonei Betza at one point as someone who hates money, someone who hates, he despises wealth. I mean, you and I don't meet such people on a daily basis. Most of us wouldn't mind being a little wealthy. But according to the Ramban, to guarantee that a judge is on such a level that he would never ever think or be tempted to accept a bribe of any sort, he's got to be a Sonei Betza. And the Ramban proves this, that he's not interested in money at all. That's a very high level. But I think in the Ramban, in Parshas Mishpatim, we're going to see an entirely different facet or dimension to what it means to be a judge in Israel. That the laws that govern Mishpatim, which means Beinon L'Chavero, the laws that govern monetary law, all financial cases, you know, a plaintiff who sues a defendant, all those cases are so complex and so deep, they require a Chachma that what I say is out of this world. And therefore our respect for judges has to come from two different sides. Number one, for the moral character of the judge, and number two, for his intellectual achievements. I don't know if any of you are familiar with people, know people, or know of institutions that dedicate themselves to the study of Choshen Mishpat per se. And if you know such people, I can promise you that they're geniuses. Because the laws are so complex. With Yoredeya, you know, let's say, for example, you study for Smicha, you have one Siman in Shulchan Aruch, and it covers an entire sugya. If you know that Siman well, at least in that area, you're an expert. In Choshen Mishpat, it doesn't work like that. There's no one who could serve as a judge for cases X, Y, and Z because he's an expert in those type of cases. You know, the laws of Choshen Mishpat are so, They integrate and they form such a complex whole with integrating all the different parts and cases and possibilities. So many different laws, regulations, and principles that come to the fore in any particular case. You can never be mezalzel. You can never make light of any one particular case that comes up. You know, like for example, here, I assume in Canada as well, and tell me if I'm wrong, they have something called small claims court. Do they have that in Canada?
Yeah.
So it's a great boon and it's really a bracha, but people have the tendency of thinking, oh, if it's going to small claims court, it's a simple matter. You know, you don't need a great judge for that. But the Jewish perspective on that is totally antithetical. You know, din pruta ke din mea. We don't require any less expertise on the part of a judge to decide and hand down a verdict in a case that deals with one pruta than in a case that deals with mea dinrim or 1,000 dinrim. So having said that, let's take a look at the Ramban at the beginning of Mishpatim. And the first Ramban on your page, which is the first Ramban in the Parsha, addresses the question of the juxtaposition of the Eila Mishpatim right here following the Aseres HaDivros. Because, again, Rabosa, if I were to ask you, and I hope you'll come up with the same answer that I would, what is the most fundamental parsha in the Torah? You know, what's like the most, you know, dramatic and profound and fundamental parsha in the Torah, what would it be?
Yisro.
It would be Yisro, because Yisro has what? The Aseres HaDibros. Are we in for a kind of a letdown, like an anticlimactic experience when we get to Mishpatim? So the Ramban wants to find out, why is this parsha called Mishpatim and dedicated to Mishpatim juxtaposed on the footsteps or the aftermath of the Aseres HaDibros? Says the Ramban, Tam, the meaning of the Eila Mishpat Veshartosim Lifneyem, and why is it here? Ki Rotza Lahakdish, I'm sorry, Lahakdim Lahem HaMishpatim. Mishpatim has to come first. Again, we're going to have many different laws, ritual laws, kashrus laws, we're going to have family laws, Tumah V'Tara, we're going to have all of Sefer Vayikra with Karbanos, we're going to have a myriad of laws in the Torah, but Mishpatim comes first. Monetary law is up front. Ki kasher hoya baseres hadibros, hadibur harishon biyidias Hashem, vasheni biyisra avodah zara. The Torah in the middle of the last week's parasha gave us the aseres hadibros, which began with statements regarding, number one, the belief in God. We spoke about this at great length last week. And the prohibition against accepting any other gods. We understand how fundamental those are, that we have an intuitive appreciation for that. Chazar v'tziva es Moshe, right here and now, kosomar el b'nei Yisrael atem re'isem, as soon as the Aseres HaDibros conclude, Moshe is commanded to tell the people of Israel, Atem Re'isem. What is the significance of Atem Re'isem? So the Ramban believes that anything that comes right after the Aseres HaDibros has to be in some way connected to and strengthen what came before it, namely the Aseres HaDibros. Tazhi Reim. That means he raises a finger of warning at them. That you, Moshe Atah, Od Sheyitnu Libam L'Masherou. So the overall introduction of Atem Re'isem is you saw God, pay attention to what you learned from Almighty God. Bar mitzvah sa'elu shetzivisim, in the mitzvahs that are included in the Aseres HaDibros. And says the Ramban, the Pasuk, and this is going back to Perek Chaf, following the Aseres HaDibros, that's Pasuk Yutes and Pasuk Chaf, if you have a chance to look that up. It says there, Atem Re'isem, and then Velosasun Iti, right, Elohei Kesef and Elohei Zov. So he says that Atem Re'isem Keneged Dibur Anochi. So the Re'isem here means that you had a perception, a vision of Almighty God. Now you can have knowledge of God. You can affirm all that's included under Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And on top of that, Lo Yilecha, excuse me, Lo Sasuniti, Kenegi Lo Yelecha, Lahashlim Inyan Avodah Zarah. So the parsha immediately that follows Aseres HaDibros is a continuation of the Aseres HaDibros to flesh out the Aseres HaDibros, to warn Bnei Yisrael to be careful about what they learned in the Aseres HaDibros. And now you would expect that what would come next after Atem Re'isem and Lo Sasuniti, if we're going in order, what should come next? Right, so we're up to now the third Dibra. So we should expect that there should be some sort of an admonition or an Azhara that's relevant to the third, and then the fourth and the fifth. But guess what, says the Ramban? The Torah is going to fast forward all the way to the tenth. What's the tenth of the Aseres HaDibros? Lo Sachmod. Says the Ramban, immediately following Atem Re'isem and Lo Sasuniti, comes V'ela Mishpatim Kinegi Lo Sachmot. And I'm hoping that the Ramban will give me some clue as to why Lo Sachmot is next in line and what happened to the seven Dibros in between. Says the Ramban, how does V'ela Mishpatim reflect or correspond to Lo Sachmot? Ki im lo yedah ha'adam mishpat ha'bayis v'asodeh v'sharamamon yachshov shu shalov yichamdeyu v'yikacheu li'atzmo. The Ramban says that unless you know the mishpatim, unless you know all the laws that regulate the ownership of a field or a house or any other possessions, kalim or mammon or kesef, whatever it might be, without knowing those laws, then you might think that something really belongs to you, and in truth it doesn't belong to you, and therefore you have chemda for it, you desire it, you covet it for yourself, yikachen olatzma, will take it for himself. And in effect, although not deliberately, he violates lo sachmot. So he violates Lo Sachmot because he doesn't have a clear understanding of what he can take for himself and what doesn't belong for himself. Again, in his mind, he's coveting that which is his. But in fact, it belongs to someone else. I would call this chemda v'shogeg. But be that as it may, whether it's shogeg or mezid, it's very clear that according to the Ramban, there's a direct equation between Mishpatim and the last of the Aseres HaDibros. And only when you know the Mishpatim can you possibly observe Lo Sachmot properly. And this is a fascinating chiddush of the Ramban in two ways. Number one, the Ramban is telling us that Mishpatim is juxtaposed right here on the springboard, or as a reflection and expansion of the Aseres HaDibros, in this case, the last of the Aseres HaDibros. So that answers the exegetical question as to why Mishpatim and its Parshas Mishpatim is placed here. But number two, the Ramban's great chiddush here is that without the Mishpatim, it's literally impossible to know what is rightfully yours and what belongs to someone else, and to observe the lav, the last of the Aseres Lo Sachmot, because you'll come to covet that which in truth you may think is yours, but is not yours.
So he's not so far getting to the point why it's here at this point after just the first two of Hebrew.
Right, I'm still looking high and low in the Ramban for some sort of an allusion, a hint, to answer the question, why did we skip from Dibra number 2 to Dibra number 10. Now I'm about to set up this beautiful structure in which anything that came post Aseres HaDibros is in corresponding order. I mean, again, the sequence is good. You've got 1, 2, and 10. But it begs the rational question, the rational mind wants to know the answer to the question, what happened between 3 and 9? I'm hoping, again, I don't have much time here. We're running out of space here in this Ramban. But I'm hoping somewhere we'll find an answer to this question. Let's go on in the Ramban. Lefichach Amar, let's answer another question, says the Ramban. Tasim lahem mishpatim yisharim yanhigu osam beinehem v'lo yachmedu masha eino shalahem min hadin. So it makes sense, says the Ramban, that God now tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Eila mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem, put these judgments, these laws, these rules in front of them, they should practice them. Yanhigu osam beinehem, meaning beinonim lechavero v'lo yachmedu, and only if you do that are you able to guarantee a fulfillment of the 10th commandment, namely lo sachmot. So there was an elaboration of the first two, and now there's the elaboration on the 10th. Why the skip? V'kach amru b'midrash rabbah, kol ha-Torah kula tluya b'mishpat. Oh, now it's getting exciting. Finally, there's some statement that the Ramban quotes in the name of the Medrash which might possibly shed a light on why Lo Sachmod and the Mishpatim that correspond to Lo Sachmod play such an important role that after we follow the belief in God and the prohibition in joining us from worshipping idols, now we're ready for Lo Sachmod, for Mishpatim, because Kol HaTorah Kula Tluya V'Mishpat. Okay, that's a very heavy statement, Rav Osai. I'd like you to think about this statement, you know, really memorize it and go to sleep with it tonight. Kol HaTorah Kula Tluya B'Mishpat. Lekach, or Lechein, Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dinim Achar Aseres HaDibros. And not only Achar Aseres HaDibros, but Achar HaDibra Shnia. Right, if the first two dibros form that unit of the fundamental belief in God, then what we're ready for now is Kol HaTorah Kula. And what's Kol HaTorah Kula? Kol HaTorah Kula is Mishpat. The entire Torah depends upon Mishpat, on laws that govern Bein Adam L'Chavero. It's not clear what that means. Why are these laws so fundamental and central that the entire Torah is really embodied or is dependent upon the regulations that govern Bein Adam L'Chaver? So, but before we try to, I'm going to try to make an attempt to answer that question. By the way, now the Ramban says that other parts of this parsha will correspond to some of the dibros that are in the middle between 2 and 10. The Chayin Yafarish Be'la Mishpatim, also included in this parsha, says the Ramban, is HaMishpat B'Avodah Zorah. In other words, the laws that govern what happens to someone who worships idols, Ubekibud Av. We're going to have some laws that determine the halachas of Kibud Av. This we'll see. Let me see in Pasuk Tezvav for a second. Let's turn to Pasuk Tezvav. What do we have over there? We have Make Aviv Ve'imo Mos Yumas. And then if you skip a Pasuk, you have Makalel Aviv Ve'imo Mos Yumas. What's in between those two Psukim? Gonev Ishu Mechara. Okay, so Blineta, that's on our agenda for tonight. That would be number 3 on your page, which is the bottom of page 2. And there the Ramban addresses what Gonev Ishu Mecharo is doing between two laws that relate to punishment for someone, a son, who either wounds his father or curses his father, Rachmanot Tzlan. And then the Ramban says, Veretzicha. Okay, Ritzich we have in Pasuk Yud Beis. Correct? What does it say in Pasuk Yud Beis? Make ish va meis mos yumas. Right? And then we have Ir Miklod in the case of Shogeg. And then he says, Vaniuf. I don't know what the Ramban means by Niyaf. I think he means anything related to Bein Zachar in the Keva. Because we don't have really anything about Niyuf in the Parsha, but we do have things like Onis Umafata. So maybe that's what he has in mind. I don't know. And then finally, on this list, he says about this list, on his Karim Be'aseres HaDibros. Now, the next part of this Ramban, and again, I'm going to come immediately back to our questions on the Ramban. Vidarshu Chazal says, he's quoting Gemara in Gittin, Lifneim, it says, Eila Mishpat B'Shartosim Lifneim, Velo Lifnei Goyim, Vivdei Shayaroi Lomar Shartosim Lahem. What does Lifneim mean? It should have said, you gave them the laws. What does it mean? Asher tosim lahem, lifneim, excuse me, which means place them in front of them. So the Ramban says, lifneim tells us, place it in front of these judges and not other judges, meaning not non-Jewish judges. Don't go to, you know, non-Jewish courts. Kamo sha'omar sham sam lo chok u mishpat. V'yomar lifneim shehem yu adayonim. That the Jewish judges, ki al ha-shofet yovah al-loshen hazeh, v'yomdu shnei ha-noshem sh'yovah lehem ha-riv lifnei Hashem, lifnei ha-konim v'ha-shoftim, ad omdu lifnei edel ha-mishpat, lifnei kol yodei das v'din, so he gives many examples to prove this, and finally, darshu od lifnei v'lo lifnei ha-yotos. In other words, you have to go to a judge who's an expert scholar, who's got smicha, he's been appointed as a judge, and even if this, we'll call him a hedgeot, how would you translate hedgeot? Maybe a layman would be a brilliant fellow, and if he would try as hard as he could to judge based on Jewish law, nevertheless we're not allowed to go to such a person, we have to go in front of the judges. And that's the Ramban in the next piece is going to say, Shem Tayonim Amumchim Hasmuchim Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. So these are the experts, and they have Smicha Ish Mipi Ish that goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's all considered Asher Yosim Lifneihem and Lo Lifnei Goyim Velo Lifnei Hedyotos. Okay. Now, let me say a word or two about Lo Sachmod. I'm not sure if we discussed this in the past. You'll have to remind me. There's a fundamental machlokas about the nature of Lo Sachmod. It's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban in Hilchas Gzela. According to the Rambam, and the Lechem Mishnah elaborates on this, the nature of Lo Sachmod is a midah grua, which means even if you don't take something that doesn't belong to you, you don't even try to get someone to sell something because you covet that object, nevertheless the Rambam holds that you violate the iser of Lo Sachmod simply because of the chemda. The chemda itself, not as a prologue or a stepping stone to something of a worse avera, but in and of itself is objectionable. For a person to live with chemda is not a good thing. The Ravid, on the other hand, says that what we're afraid is that if you have chemda for something that belongs to someone else, you're going to come to take it from him. Chemda will get the best of you, and eventually you'll either steal it from him or you'll cajole him to sell it to you and all that's involved. Now, let's go back to the Ramban, and I think we could test this out. Does the Ramban hold like the Rambam's definition of Lo Sachmod or like the Ravid's definition of Lo Sachmod? Because again, according to the Rambam, what happens is that you're having chemda for something because you think it's yours.
Well, there's no mishpat involved.
Again, let's take the Ravid. Can we reconcile the Ravid with the Ramban? The Ravid says that the reason the Torah enjoined us from Chemda is because it might lead us to take something from someone else. Does that apply in the Ramban?
Can
the Ramban be reconciled? Can you square off the Ramban with the Ravid?
No.
Again, the Ramban is saying that you're coveting something because you think it's yours. Okay? Does that mean that according to the Ramban, we're afraid that you're going to take something that doesn't belong to you? Is that what the Ramban is saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. The Ramban is claiming that you're going to covet this object because you mistakenly believe it's yours. That in itself is a violation of Lo Sachmahot. You see that the Ramban is not approaching Lo Sachmahot with the Ravid's definition. The Ravid's definition is that if I love something that's yours, you know, I see you go around with a fancy car and I love that car, eventually what I'm going to do is see to it that I get that car and it really belongs to you. That's not the Ramban. The Ramban is talking about a case where you desire something because you believe mistakenly that it's yours. And that itself is prohibited. That's why I find it more logical that the Ramban is on the Rambam's page, that Chemda, the love for money, is in itself objectionable, even if it won't lead to your taking that property away from someone else.
The Rambam says in the other side, you have to make king on the driver.
Let me quote to you the Rambam. I think I have it here. Let me just see if I have it here. 1 second. I meant to actually copy the Rambam and the Ramban and the Rambam and the Ravid for you. Let's see if I have it. It's at the end of Perek Aleph Milchus Gzela.
Can I ask the world? Why he's looking?
What? Malchus? You talking about Malchus?
No, it's not Malchus.
I don't know about Malchus now. I mean, if somebody happens, I could take a break and get the Rambam, but I just know that we're on a very, you know, short leash as far as time is concerned, and I haven't even started yet, and it's already almost 9 o'clock. So let me... I could keep here for a week with this, with the Ramban, but let's just say this. According to the Ravid, listen carefully, the lav of Lo Sachmod is a geder, as the Lech Mishnah explains it, it's a geder of gzela. We're afraid that you'll steal the object that you crave. According to the Rambam, no, Lo Sachmod is not because you're going to violate gzela and take something that's not rightfully yours. But
you're going to violate a certain thing.
So that's what I'm just saying, that the Rambam has Lo Sachmod as an Iser unto itself, the Chemda itself. This, again, it's a little bit complicated. The Chemda itself, according to the Rambam, is objectionable. The Torah doesn't want you to get carried away with Chemdas Momo. So I would place the Ramban in the Rambam's camp, because I think the Ramban who's saying that the problem of Lo Sachmod is because you mistakenly think this object is yours, and therefore you desire it and violate Lo Sachmod, we're not talking about a scenario in which we're afraid lest this Chemda will lead you to steal something that's not yours. Okay? We're not talking about stealing something.
You may not have to think it's yours. You just might be desiring it. That's it. Plain and simple.
Correct. So that's what I'm just pointing out, that the Ravid's approach is that desiring something that belongs to someone else is prohibited, not in and of itself, but because we're afraid eventually it's going to lead to gzela. All right, let's go.
It's a problem just itself.
It's a prohibition unto itself. Chemda is objectionable unto itself. That seems to be the Ramban's approach, which fits a little bit better into the Rambam, if you follow what I'm saying, than the Ravid's approach. But let me Joe, let me just go on, because otherwise I'm going to...
Okay.
Why is he putting it here with
Mishpatim?
What? Saying it's not...
Okay, wait a minute. Let's go slowly. Can you give me a few minutes here to develop an idea, Joe? What? I know I'm asking a lot here, but... I apologize. I just want to convey a certain idea, and you'll be the judge if you like it or you don't. Okay? What were the words that I asked you to go to sleep with tonight? Kol HaTorah Kula Tluya B'Mishpat. You have those words?
Yes.
Okay? We're going to sing it together. Kol HaTorah Kula Tluya B'Mishpat. Alright? I don't hear you singing it. Okay, fine. So what is this all about? Alright. So what I have to do is, I have to quote to you the words of Rabbeinu Yonah in his introduction to his commentary on Pirkei Avos, on the Mishnah, Hevu Misunim Badin. Din means Mishpat. And these words are quoted by the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Simcha Zissel Breuder, that I like to quote in the Psalm Derech. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, why does the first Mishnah Avos give us a warning about being careful about dinim, having misunim but din? Misunim means be very careful about judgment. And he says something that's unbelievable, absolutely unexpected, a total curveball here. I would have said be careful in judgment because, people's money are at stake here. That's your job as a judge. He says something totally different. He says, Shehein, because dinim, ikar, gadol, yidias, habore, yizbarach. And he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, haskel viodeosi, that man is commanded to know God. And how do you know God? Again, you can give a thousand answers to the question, how you know God? But Yirmiyahu HaNavi gives the following answer. And he says, Ki ani Hashem osa chesed u'mishpat. In other words, by understanding chesed u'mishpat, if we understand the laws of righteousness, that Almighty God has legislated in His Torah, then we will come to Yediyas Hashem. V'eich yaskil Adam ladasas Hashem. How, asks Rabbeinu Yonah, is man going to become smart enough to know God? The answer is that we cannot know God, but there's only one way of knowing God. The best we can do is if we know Yodanu lasos dinu mishpat. On both sides, it's unbelievable. The Rambam starts his Mishneh Torah with Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. And then, about 10 books later, he's got Kinyan, and he's got Mishpatim, and he's got Shoftim. Now, if I would give you the 14 books of the Rambam, which book would you open up in order to know God? Yesodei HaTorah. I mean, there are a couple of chapters in there I would recommend skipping because they're beyond our comprehension. But certainly, the Rambam dedicates chapter after chapter to the knowledge of God. And yet Yirmiyahu HaNavi has a different answer, and Rabbeinu Yonah at the beginning of Pirkei Avos picks up on it. How should you know God? What's the best way, if I recommend, what course should you take in order, knowledge of God 101. You know what I mean? What would be the course? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's Mishpatim. Mishpatim gives you the key to know God. Because God's wisdom is embodied and reflected in the laws of righteousness of Tzedek and Mishpat in the Torah. So if you ask me now, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, where in the Rambam should I look for a crash course on God? But again, there is no such thing as a crash course on God. But if you want to study Almighty God, you've got to study Mishpatim. The last couple of books in the Rambam's Yad HaChazaka, not the first book. And it goes beyond this. Because the Ramban himself elsewhere, on the Pasuk Vasisa Vayosher Vatov, says the Ramban, this is in Parshas Vaschanan, HaKavona Bazeh, Viata Yomar, Viata with an ayin, Gam Basher Lo Tzivcha, Tein Datcha Lasos Tov Vayosher Benov, Ki U Ahoev HaTov Vayosher. The Ramban says that we have to try to understand everything that's in the Torah that commands us and legislates our relationship with fellow man, to the point in which we can know even that which is not given in the Torah. Mashalot Zivcha. That's the Asisa Vayosher Tov. You can only do Yosher and Tov because you've exhausted all the laws of what I call Choshen Mishpat, of Mishpatim. You now know Almighty God. You know the way He thinks. He with a capital H. Now you're ready for Vasisa Vayosher Tov. Now you have the capacity to figure out, as the Ramban says, Ba'asher lo, gam ba'asher lo tzivcha, tein datcha, lasos tov, v'yosher b'yena. In other words, if I focus my attention, and I study the laws of the Torah with depth, and I understand what the Torah says is tov, and what's yosher in the eyes of God, then I will be enlightened, I will understand God well enough to proceed to the next level and unravel and figure out what God wants from me, what He didn't tell me about. Not every scenario in life, as you and I know, is written out in the Torah. Obviously, we have to learn the principles, we have to learn the underlying rules, and then we can apply them to cases that are not explicit in the Torah. In order to do that and fulfill therefore the mitzvah of Asisa Vayosher Tov, says the Ramban, I've got to study the Mishpatim. And therefore, let's go back to the words that I asked you to memorize. Kol HaTorah Kula Tluya B'Mishpat. What does it mean, Kol HaTorah Kula B'Mishpat? If we can understand the Mishpatim in all their depth, then we have in our hands the keys to unlock the mysteries of Almighty God, of the entire Torah, of all the wisdom that's embodied in the Torah. So Rabbi Osai, tonight, I'm on a roll, I'm on a public relations, campaign to learn Choshen Mishpat. Look, next week I might be on a campaign to learn Yerideya, I don't know. But tonight, as we learn Mishpatim, it's Choshen Mishpat. Why is Choshen Mishpat up there? Why does the Ramban say that the postscript of the Aseres HaDivros is V'Ela Mishpatim? And the postscript meaning Chemda, Lo Sachmod, says the Ramban, because Lo Sachmod means Mishpatim, knowing what's yours and what's not yours. To know that, you've got to know the Mishpatim. And if you know that, then you know God. So basically, there are three dibros, all of which address the question of, what do I have to know about God? The first of the dibros, Anochi, the second is Lo Yelecha, and the third is Lo Sachmod. Those three form a unit. And the unit that underlies them is, how do I know God? So there's Yediyas Hashem on a philosophical level, that's Anochi. There's Yediyas Hashem in the rejection of the belief in any other powers or delegates or officers or malachim, as we spoke about last week in great detail. And then there's Yediyas Hashem on the highest level, to know the way God's mind thinks, to understand the morality, the wisdom of God. And I can only comprehend that if I delve deeply into the Mishpatim. And then I'm ready to have completed this series of three dibros of Yediyas Hashem. I think it's a very, very beautiful idea. Anybody have any questions? Joe, you wanted to ask something before, and I sort of...
I hear that from what you're saying from the subject, but with regards to the Ramban, okay, he puts it here in Mishpatim, okay, and so he's saying, he's emphasizing, it seems like to me, that he's emphasizing, you know, judges. He's saying in this first paragraph that he's talking, he's emphasizing judges, so it sounds to me...
Yeah.
I see where you're going, but it sounds to me that there's certain aspect of this which has got to do with actual transgression of something that needs to be judged, as opposed to something of knowledge beforehand of what that you don't go through.
Well, again, Joe, let me ask you the question. You mentioned the judges. The Ramban goes out of his way to point out that Asher Tosim Lifneihem V'lo Lifnei Goyim. Asher Tosim Lifneihem V'lo Lifnei Adyotos. Asher Tosim Lifneihem means Mumchim Shekiblu Smicha Ish Mi Pi Ish Mi Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ramban goes out of his way at the beginning of Parashas Mishpatim to set the standards for our shoftim, for a Jewish shofet that we can go to and present our issues to litigants, to Bali Din. Why?
Present the litigants with something. Meaning there's got to be something that the litigant, that the judge has concrete that he's got to be dealing with.
No, but I'm saying, Joe, it goes way beyond that. What the Ramban is trying to convey to us is that to be a judge in Israel, you have to know so much, your wisdom has to be so great and so deep, that you are a judge in Israel because you understand the divine mind, so to speak, the way that God thinks, to know whether this piece of property belongs to Reuven or to Shimon, given their claims and counterclaims, requires an absolute expertise knowledge in which you have revealed the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. And so Rabbeinu Yonah's introduction to Pirkei Avos, Havi Mesunim Adin, or the Ramban's quote of this Medrash, that Kol HaTorah Kula Tluya B'Mishpat. What do you mean Kol HaTorah Kula B'Mishpat? I want to know if this animal was shechted properly and I can eat its meat. Is it Nevela? Is it Trefa? Is it kosher meat? What does that have to do with Mishpat? Zilch has nothing to do with Mishpat. So what are you telling me that Kol HaTorah Kula Tluya B'Mishpat? A woman comes in front of a Rav, she's got a Mare, she doesn't know if it's Dam Nida, if it's not Dam Nida, if it's like Tyra Zayin Niki, blah, 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 blah. What's it got to do with Mishpat? I can give you a million cases that have nothing to do with Mishpat in the Torah. I want to know if my tefillin, you know, are square or not square, and if the ritzuas are black or not black. What does that do with mishpat? The answer is kol haTorah kluya mishpat means the Torah of Yediyas Hashem. That's what the Ramban has in mind. The Torah that's going to allow a judge, with all due respect, to have the audacity to determine whether this belongs to Reuven or Shimon. The knowledge of God that facilitates my ability, if I could only get to it, of fulfilling the mitzvah of Asisa Vayosher Atov, which means Eis Asher Lo Tzivcha Hashem, to read between the lines and understand and answer the questions that don't appear in the Torah. That's amazing. That's what I think puts Lo Sachmod, representing Mishpat, right up there after Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yilcha. I think the plot grows thicker and even more beautiful if you turn to the next Ramban on your page. What's the next Ramban on your page? It should be Pasuk Vav, I hope. Okay, let me just turn to the Ramban. Just one second. V'gisho Adonov El Elohim. I am reading this pasuk the way the Ibn Ezra would read this pasuk. Says the Ramban, Lebezdin. The word Elohim means the courts, the human judges. Tzarech she'imolech b'mochrov she'machru lo. We're talking about an Eved Ivri who now becomes an Eved Nirza. And we have to consult with the same Bezdin that sold him as an Eved l'chatchila because he stole and he didn't have money to pay back. So the word Elohim is a secular word, and you're allowed to say it as it's written, because it refers to the human judges. The Amar Rabbi Avram, he quotes the Ibn Ezra, Ki nikru ashoftim Elohim. Why is the word Elohim chosen to describe the judges? Ba'avur she'i mekaimei mishpatei Elohim ba'aretz. Okay. What does that mean? Mekaimei mishpat Elohim ba'aretz. Let's translate it literally. They maintain, or shall we say implement, the will of God on this earth. How do they know what the will of God is? How do we know whether the will of God is that Reuven should win this case or Shimon should win the case? The answer is because they study the Torah. So since the Torah, we'll start with Parshas Mishpatim, embodies the laws of Mishpat that govern litigations and property issues, they study the Torah, they're implementing the will of God because the will of God is embodied in the Torah. Does it mean that God has some sort of an active role? He plays an active role hands-on in the actual judgment? According to Ibn Ezra, absolutely not. God is not here in front of us. It's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, three judges, who are judging based on God's wisdom. Insofar as they successfully hand down a verdict that reflects God's wisdom as embodied in the Torah, then they are mekaimei mishpatei Elohim ba'aretz. They are fulfilling and implementing the law of God in the land. The Ramban is not going to take it. The Ramban believes, and he's got pasuk after pasuk to support him, that God, Almighty God, is an active participant in the judgment process. It's not just that the judges have studied the law. Says the Ramban, Uledati Yomar HaKosuv V'Yigisha Elohim. And then it says a little bit later on in this parasha, V'Ad Elohim Yavod V'Arshneem. Lirmos, what the Torah is trying to allude to, Ki Yi Elohim Imoem B'Dvar HaMishpat. That God is there. And by the way, when the Ramban says he's there, it doesn't mean that he's, you know, physically present and that's it. That's for sure true. It means a lot more than that he's present. Hu yatzdik v'hu yarshia. He vindicates and he declares guilty. The word he, what kind of H does it have? A capital H. It is God who is determining the verdict of the case. That's a mind-boggling concept. And in a minute I'm going to ask you the question, why? Why is it necessary? Why not just leave well enough alone? You've given your Torah, you've embodied the laws your wisdom is embodied in the laws of the Torah, the judges have studied those laws. Why not go the Ibn Ezra route? Let the judges judge on their own. Hands off. You know, I always think in parenting, right? What kind of philosophy should parents have? You know, do they just sort of educate their children and then let the children go on their own? And this is so true for in-laws, you know. Two Ashkafas and in-laws, you know. They're the hands-on in-laws, you know what I mean? You can't do anything without mother-in-law. And then there are those who... So sorry with the mushroom. I hope it didn't offend anybody. Yeah. All right. I don't see too many mothers-in-law in the audience tonight. So, but You know, there are two types of Ashkafas here. So what is it? In judgment, where is God? From the Ibn Ezra's perspective, God is a hands-off policy. You know, he gave us the Torah, now take the ball and run with it. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says, Hu Yatzdik v'hu Yarshia, and he quotes Psukim. Zeu Sha'omar, and therefore the Torah says, Asher Yarshiun Elokim, that God himself will find the person guilty if he's guilty. V'kach Omar Moshe, and Moshe says later on in Dvarim, Ki Amishpat Lelokim Hu, which means that the judgment is Almighty God's. And here he has a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. Listen to this pasuk. If you have any doubts about it, Kach Omar Yoshafa Ki Lo Li Adam Tishbitu Ki Lashem. No, you shouldn't judge for the sake of man, but for the sake of God. That's your responsibility. But the Torah says, V'imachem bidvar mishpat. And I will be with you, or he will be with you, with a capital H, in the mishpat. V'chein omer akos v'another pasuk. Elokim nitzav badas kel. Adas kel is the judges. Bekerev Elokim yishpat. So who's actually judging? Not the human courts. But essentially, it is God who is judging the case. Klomar bekerav adas elokim, in the presence or in the midst of the judges, yishpot, God will judge. Ki elokim hu hashofet, he's the judge. V'chein amar v'omdu shnei anoshim hashalem ariv lifnei Hashem, the two litigants stand in front of God because it's God who's presiding over this bezdin. And therefore the Torah says, a little bit later on in Sefer Shmos, I will not be madzdik a Russia. I'll perish anochon, and that's the... So who's directing the judges? Almighty God. He is directing the judges. Rabosa, it's unbelievable. It's like, you remember the phrase, Moshe speaks, Hashchina medaberes mitoch grono shel Moshe. It's like the Shekhinah is speaking through the mouths of the judges. Again, only given the facts and figures, the evidence that's sitting in front of the judgment. In other words, if new evidence comes in later, you know, don't be upset by the original verdict that was handed down, which turns out to be incorrect. You know, let's say, for example, you know, the judges hand down a verdict that so-and-so is innocent, and then two of them later come up after the verdict, and they testify that he's guilty. Well, let's say they hand down a verdict that the plaintiff is guilty based on the witnesses that came in, and then after they hand down the verdict, two witnesses come in and say, Imano Yisim, you're with us in a different place. That's called what? Hazama. So we believe the Mazimim and we throw out the original verdict. Don't ask me any questions about that. The Ramban is only saying that God directs the judges based on the case. You know, you want to change the case, that's a different story. But as long as the case and the facts of the case, the evidence of the case is on the table, God is presiding in judgment.
And that, the Gemara says, if a Baskel comes and says, you know, something different from the base, then we don't hold by the Baskel.
No. That's something else. When you have a machlokis and halacha, then a baskol does not have the power to determine the halacha. That's called lo bashamayim. That's a famous sugi of Tanush Achnoi in Bav Metzia. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking not about a baskol. We're talking about the divine influence, what we call nevuah, or what we call Ruach HaKodesh, if you will. Again, I don't know, in the Ramban's frame of reference, he doesn't employ these terms. I don't know exactly what level of direction and divine providence God impacts on the judges. But ultimately, the judgment is handed down, not by man, but by God. And therefore, we're guaranteed true justice. It's unbelievable because this Ramban reflects so many different ideas. I want to share a few with you. First of all, I told you at the outset, when we discussed the Ramban, that Kol HaTorah Kula Tluya B'Mishpat, that Mishpat means Yediyas Hashem, meaning knowing Mishpat equals knowing God. So I have a simple question for you. Can anybody know God? If knowing the Mishpat means knowing God, I'm going to create a syllogism here, and no human being can ever know God, then no human being can ever know Mishpat. In other words, I can take the genius of geniuses of all generations and give him only one area of the Torah to study, Choshen Mishpat. And I will grant him 120 years of a sharp mind. I don't know how good his body functions, but at least his mind is sharp. And the man is locked up in a room. We'll feed him all the meals. We give all this. He's the genius of geniuses. 120 years. He will not scratch the surface of Mishpat. Because it's endless. It's infinite. There's no end to it. It's God's knowledge. Therefore, if the whole Torah and God is embodied in the knowledge of Choshen Mishpat, I have a question to ask you. How could a judge ever have the chutzpah, the audacity to claim that he is delivering truth? His verdict reflects the truth. Misomch. On a psychological level, I can present it in a very easy way. The Torah is absolutely opposed to shochat. Every judge takes shochat. Every judge accepts shochat.
And accepts what?
Every single judge accepts shochat. You thought I was referring to some rabbi in Toronto. Rabbi Shochet. No. I'm talking about Shochet. Now, how could Berzal make such a chutzpahdika statement? I'll tell you what it is. On a psychological level, it's impossible, it's humanly impossible not to accept Shochet. What do I mean? Not chas v'shalom that the litigant puts a $50 bill into the pocket of the judge. But imagine if you have two friends that live in your area and they come in front of you for a judgment. You're the judge. For example, in my building in Har Nof, I have a dayan who's my neighbor. I know him for 30 years. What, he's not going to be inclined favorably towards me if I was a good neighbor and a good friend? How's it possible? Okay, so you'll tell me I'll only take on cases of friend dimension. They're alien. I've never met them. I don't know them. But I don't understand. Do these two people look exactly alike? Do they behave the same way? One comes in, he's got a fancy tie on. The other's got a sloppy shirt on. I mean, humanly, it's almost impossible, I think. I think it's even impossible not to have some sort of psychological bent or inclination towards one of the litigants. Isn't that shochad? Doesn't it mean that humanly we cannot be absolutely objective? So, Mimanasha, on the level of knowledge of Mishpat is called Tarakula. It means you got to know everything. It's the knowledge of God. That's infinite. Because every case weaves together all the different principles of Shulchan Aruch. On the other level, how can you be perfectly objective in your judgment? There's shochad everywhere you turn. So what's the Ramban's solution to that problem? The Ibn Ezra doesn't have it. Elokim nitzav adas kel. Hu hamatznik v'hu hamashiach. God is there to direct the judges. Otherwise it just won't work. That's the Ramban's sheet.
He's not saying to Ramban that you better keep all your opinions to yourself.
Yes, absolutely, Joe. If I walk out of the court, whether I'm one of the litigants and he favored the other litigant, or I'm a spectator, you know, I sit in the jury or in the audience, and I say, I could have done a better job. What kind of judgment was that? And it's fascinating. The Torah says Elokim lo sakalel. If we have time, we'll go through the Ramban. The Ramban says that the word Elokim lo sakalel has two meanings to it. And they're both correct at the same time. It means thou shalt not curse God and thou shalt not curse the judges. The classic scenario, says the Ramban, is a litigant. He was called a Rasha. In other words, he lost the case. He walks out of Beis Din and he curses the judge. It happens all the time, unfortunately. It's human nature. Nobody can admit that maybe they were wrong. So the Ramban says, basically he violates Elokim lo sekalel. Literally, he's cursing God. Why? Because that verdict, my friend, is not the verdict of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, the Dayanim. That's the verdict that was handed down by God. So Elokim lo sekalel means that if you curse the judge, you are cursing God. Because you're saying you reject his verdict, you're rejecting the verdict of God. And that's the Ramban Lashitasa. The Ramban says that the reason why there's no law of Edim Zomimim, if they've already put the Nidon to death, that's Kasher Asa, and no other Rishon, to my knowledge, other than Ramban, had the audacity to even raise this question on his lips. What's a Gzeiras HaKasuv? The Torah says, we've already put the Nidon to death, too late for Azam. Says the Ramban, the Torah would not, HaKadosh Baruch would not have given a decision to find this guy guilty and put him to death unless he deserved to die. You see, if it's the human decision, the human judgment, then the cash is better than the teretz. I mean, if we're going to put the Edom to death in Azama when the Nidon was not put to death, how much more so should we put them to death if the Nidon was put to death? It's a Kal V'chomer. So what's Kasher Zoma below Kasher Asa? Only... Sorry?
I don't agree with that. Because Kasher Zoma is a guy who gets a kapur by being killed. But Kasher Asa is such a big affair that he goes out of kapur, so don't mind doing it. That's why you don't do it.
Okay, but you're assuming that if the Avera is greater than the death penalty, then we don't give the death penalty. I don't know that that's so. In other words, you follow what I'm asking, David? You're saying that he succeeded in killing someone. That's a little bit... what word am I looking for? It's a little bit paradoxical to say that if you succeeded in killing someone, you don't deserve to die. Or, since you killed him, you don't deserve to have the atonement that death would give him. I mean, why is he any worse than a murderer? Again, I don't want to debate this with you, David. We could spend a lot of time on it, but I'd love you to take a look at the Ramban in Parsha Shoftim, if you get a chance. I'll send you the Maror Makomos if you remind me. The Ramban on Kasher Asa. And again, it's all based on the Ramban's philosophy, this revolution, I call it, that Hashem needs Avadas Kel and all the other psukim, Imachim and Mishpat, are all coming to teach us that God is the one who's handing down the judgment. Where's the Ramban? The Ramban says, and we'll end with this, although I have tons to share with you, and we didn't get to Ayin Tachazayin tonight. All right, what can I do? But we understand why the Ramban emphasizes that it's got to be Lifneihem, as we said before. Lifneihem has to be Dayanim Mumchem, Asmuchem, Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. We understand why a hedgehog, even if he's sharp, even if he's well learned, it's not going to do it. These are the conditions that have to be fulfilled in order to set up Elokim Nitzav Adas Kel. It explains, according to Ramban, why the Torah chooses the word Elokim here, V'igishu Adonav El Elokim. It explains, according to Ramban's view, Kasher Zomam V'lo Kasher Asa, because once the verdict was implemented, it means that that was the divine will. And finally, it answers the question, how is it humanly possible for judges that are mortal, that are flesh and blood, that have negiyas, and that cannot possibly master all of Chol Shem Mishpat, because no one could ever do that, how could they possibly hand down the right verdict? What guarantees that? And I believe that the picture of the Ramban It's one puzzle that, and all the pieces fit into place. What the Ramban is saying is that Kol HaTorah Kula Tluya V'Mishpat, that V'Eila Mishpatim is absolutely critical. It is the, how should I say, the completion of the Aseres HaDivros. The Aseres HaDivros are the foundations of all the mitzvahs. The Avos, and the Ramban says in Parshas Truma, that the Aseres HaDivros are the Avos, and the rest of the Torah, the Toldos. Lo Sachmod, representing Mishpat, is the Av for Yediyas Kol HaTorah Kula, meaning to understand who God is, how He thinks, what His will is. It's all embodied in Chol Shein Mishpat, in V'Eila Mishpatim. But obviously, we're going to need help from a friend. And in this case, the friend has a capital F, and that's Almighty God. So we have to wish and hope and pray that Hashem, we have a whole tefillah in Shmon Esrei, one of the 13 emtsoyos. We ask Hashem to restore the judges to Israel. Hashiva Shoftayach Rishona. That those shoftim be restored in Israel. And those shoftim are imbued and saturated with the knowledge of God. They will share that knowledge with us. Almighty God will direct us. Direct the judges. It's a hands-on policy, and it has to be, according to the Ramban. And these judges are the true embodiment of Lifnei Elokim. When Emir Tzashem will be Mechadish the Smicha, at the time of the Geula, B'mheirav Yameinu, Amen. So I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. Please, David.
Because according to Ramban, why do these anyway?
Again, there are certain rules and regulations, David, that govern when we have a judgment. If it's not a judgment, if it's not a mishpat, if it's not lifneihem, then Hashem is not there. When is it lifneihem? When is Hashem there? When it's lifneihem? God in the Torah will set up those conditions. You can have the most brilliant judges, but if it's not the judges that are described and required by the Torah, then there's no Elokim. Elokim comes down to reside, to preside on the judgment when the conditions are met.
There's one more thing I said earlier about the Rabban with the Lysakhonis. So the Rabban says, it's lost shape by Mayas, you don't give
up. Speak a little, drop louder.
The Rambam says, it's love shaped by Maaseh, you don't give all this. You have to make a kinyan nonetheless.
Unless you convince him to sell it to you.
You're right, you have to make a kinyan on the object.
And then you get Malkus for the Maaseh and kinyan.
Fight with the object. So the thing is, it's not, but according to the Rambam, he says when he says you don't get Malkus for different reasons. Because it's like the love of them that they'll say like Zayla. So according to the Rambam, cuts out. If you give back the object, you undo the obeyer. According to the Rambam, you don't, because it's all in your head anyway. So giving back the object is not going to help you.
According to the Ravid?
According to the Ravid, you give it back, it's the ages of failure for God. So it's similar to that. So that's why you don't get Malkus, because love isn't going to say. But according to the Rambam, you don't get Malkus because it's all in your head. The Maisa is the killing God. It's not really the Maisa.
I hear. But that supports the Lechem Mishnah's pshat, that according to the Rambam, Lo Sachmon is really Amida Maguna. You know, it's something like you say in your head. It's in your heart. It's a bad attribute. So the Torah wants to remove that bad attribute, and therefore it commands you Lo Sachmon. Yeah. The Ravid, on the other hand, is interested in relating Lo Sachmon to Gzela, and that becomes a package deal. But I think the Ramban here is antithetical to the Ravid, because the Ramban here is saying that the Torah doesn't want me to desire that which I believe is mine. You know, that's not gonna be a chashash gzela. There's no gedder of gzela here. That was what I was trying to suggest. I'm trying to look for that other question that you asked me.
Well, you're gonna send me the requirements for the
kashazomlo kashrosa. Let me get that for you now, David. Okay, do you have a minute? Yes, I'm trying to listen and also at the same time.
And then make sure that Hashem does not kill, because then you won't be able to kill.
I don't think it was Shimon ben Shetta, but I know which Gemara you're referring to. The Gemara.
His son got killed by Edom
Zomim. Yeah, but not Shimon ben Shetta. If you have a Gemara Makis, it's on Daf Heyamid Beis, Vavim Beis, wherever it is over there. Yeah, Shimon ben Shetta is a slightly different story. Murray, how you doing? Did he leave already? Oh, Robbie, how you doing?
Hello.
Meyer, how you doing? Good. I want to say goodbye to Murray if anybody sees him. Again, this is the Ramban. In Dvarim, you test, you test. On Kasher Zomav, lo Kasher Asa. Ki HaMishpat L'Elokimu, lo Yitein Hashem HaShoftim HaTzadikim HaNufnanav, Lishpal Damnoki, V'kol Zeh Maila Gedola, B'Shoftei Yisrael, V'Havtocha, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Maskim Al Yodom, V'Imohem, V'Dvar HaMishpat. V'Imohem V'Dvar HaMishpat. It's unbelievable how consistent the Ramban is. If you compare the Ramban at the beginning of Mishpatim to the Ramban in Shoftim, it's almost word for word the same Ramban. And then the Ramban, I want to tell you about another Ramban, which I hinted at tonight. The Ramban on Elokim Lo Sekalel, that's Shmos Chav Beis Pasuk Chav Zayin. And the Ramban basically says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the courtroom together with the judges. And therefore, if you curse a judge, that's included in the prohibition of Elokim Lo Sekalel. It's a beautiful Ramban, and it's the Ramban Lishitoso, that Elokim Lo Sekalel refers to someone who curses a judge. And that's also included on the someone who curses Hashem HaNichbad. V'heim Omru B'Gemarsh Ki Kones B'Chlal Elokim, etc. Okay, you'll have to see the Ramban inside. It's a short Ramban, it's not long. Okay then? Alright.